Okay, January is one of those excellent times of the year to do a lot of things. Yesterday in the program, we were talking about fasting, getting God's clear voice into our minds, into our lives as we head into the new year. What's God's agenda for us this year? Hearing his voice more clearly. Being in the Word, we talked about that and how that can be a very practical thing for us, how we can overcome the challenges when it comes to, you know, staying in the Word of God and realizing how important it is. And it's not a have to, it's a get to. And so we've talked about that. But it's this time of the year is also a great time to think about being a good steward of our resources, in particular our finances, getting our finances in order. Maybe this is something you prayed through and you felt like God was speaking to your heart, saying, you know what, you really need to get your financial house in order. What does God's Word have to say about finances? You may listen to Dave Ramsey, which is right before us here Monday through Friday. Love to listen to Dave, and he has some great advice. But it's always good to get a number of different takes on this. Now, God's Word is so clear when it comes to finances and how to manage them. And Tom Copeland is a guy that I'm so glad is going to be with us. We're going to be taking your financial questions. And that can run the gamut from maybe you've got a foreclosure issue, maybe you've lost your job, maybe you've got an issue with debt. We're going to be very practical, but we're going to be really focusing on God's Word and what God has to say about this. Tom is going to be with us taking your phone calls, but even before I bring Tom into the conversation, I want to give you an opportunity to go to the phones. You woke up today, maybe you've got an issue, or maybe you woke up today and you said, you know what, I'm sick of this whole debt thing. I want to know what God's Word has to say about debt and getting out of debt. Or maybe you're in a situation where you are a saver, your husband is a spender, or vice versa. How do you manage those situations? Because let's face it, marital conflict can arise. Many divorces and rifts in marital relationships come out of finances. And the devil, man, he can just, he puts a wedge in there, and it's one of his favorite tactics. So finances is a spiritual issue. Some people have said, you know, if you show me your checkbook, I can tell you where you are spiritually, because the way we handle our money really does say a lot about who we are as followers of Christ. And guess what? It's all God's anyway, right? We're just managing that. So Tom's going to be with us in a couple of minutes. Tom Copeland is a chartered accountant. He's taught thousands of people God's Word on finances since 1982. He's helped thousands reduce debt with many of the folks he's counseled becoming totally debt-free. His Financial Moments program, his feature, is airing on dozens upon dozens of radio stations, including right here on WDCX. He's the author of the book Financial Management, God's Way, as well as several workshop series, including Debt Reduction, God's Way, and God's Financial Wisdom on Business and Biblically Based Estate Planning. And he's the founder and president of Copeland Financial Ministries, focusing on teaching God's Word on finances. Check it out. It's BibleFinance.org. So Tom is with me for the very first time. I'm pretty excited about that fact. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing very good, Kurt. How are you?
Doing great. I appreciate you asking. And hey, before we start talking about money, let's talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ, which I know is primary in your life, and this is what you, this is where everything comes out of. I mean, this Jesus is your life. I know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
When did you embrace Him as Savior? How did that happen?
I accepted Christ as Savior and Lord on April 12th of 1981. And it's interesting. I had one other comment that at that time when I accepted the Lord, I was in a lot of debt. I had violated biblical principles unknowingly. And so as I give people advice and as people struggle with debt or any financial problems, I can really empathize with where they're at because I've been there before.
Isn't it amazing how God can use those crisis moments when we are really in a bad situation? A lot of the times it's because of decisions we've made, poor decisions. He shows up and he says, okay, I'm going to use this and bring you to myself. And that's exactly what happened with you. So once you came to the Lord, was he just, you know, he puts us together with these talents and abilities for a reason. Were you always interested in accounting and numbers and finances?
Well, my background was accounting, so I was always interested in accounting and finances. But I know when I first started studying what the Bible said on finances, I figured as a new Christian, it was probably just academic, that there was nothing practical there.
Yeah.
And I was astonished with over 2,000 references in the Bible to money, material things. There's incredible wisdom. And a lot of it's very practical and very applicable to how we manage money and how we should manage money.
Might I just say, back in 1981, 82, the early 80s, not a whole lot of teaching from a biblical perspective on how to handle your finances.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but there was some. A guy named Larry Burkett out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Sure.
I listened to his tapes. I got these set of tapes, listened to them 40 times over a year.
Yeah.
They were 6 hours, and by the end of it, I had most of the scriptures memorized. It just revolutionized the way I think I thought about money, and I realized that so much that was taught in the professional accounting courses in university was contrary to God's word.
So how did you... Larry, by the way, one of my favorite people, one of the great heroes of the faith. What happened with you in terms of getting out of debt? If you plugged into Larry and at that time Christian Financial Concepts and what he was doing, how did you do it and how much debt did you get out of?
The bottom line is I was in a lot of debt. I can't remember the number. It was well into the six figures. The bottom line was I started to study what the Bible said on finances. As it says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I just found as I started to renew my mind in God's word, God enabled me to change the way I thought about money and material things. And just doing that, changing the way I thought, developing, implementing a budget, which very few people do, and managing the cash flow better and being content with God's provision, it was just about 3.5 years I was totally debt-free. It was just, it's interesting. Once you start to manage money God's way, and I say this to all the listeners, you'll see some small miracles, maybe some big miracles from God. He will help you to get out of debt, because the proverb says that we become a servant to the lender when we're in debt, and God wants us to be a servant to him.
You bring up a good point there, and that is people always have the question, well, does he hate debt? Or maybe a better way to put this is debt a sin? The answer to that is debt is not portrayed as a sin, but it is portrayed as being unwise.
That's correct. I mean, Psalms 37:21 says, the wicked borrow and do not repay. And Romans 13:8 says, let no debt remain outstanding. So it's clear from God's perspective, if we borrow money, we need to pay it back. But God, he doesn't say you should never borrow. If you do borrow, you need to make sure it's his will. You need to make sure you've got some sort of a budget or a spending plan to ensure that you have the cash flow to pay off the debt. However, God does warn of the dangers of debt, and there's so many ways that we can become the scripture says we can become a servant to the lender, and there's so many ways a couple or an individual can become a servant to a lender. For example, the wife cannot stay at home with the kids because she must work full-time to meet family needs, to service their debts. The husband and wife are frequently arguing over money, as you mentioned earlier, Kurt, and debt causes stress, which results in sleepless nights, health problems, and it takes our mind away from things of the Lord, things of eternal value, onto the temporal.
Hmm. It really does. And then we have a divided mind. We're distracted. And boy, our enemy really likes that when that happens, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so spiritually speaking, we're just kind of, we're not operating to our full potential. And that is one of those things that that he can use against us. And I don't know. I mean, you're listening to the program here today and you're like, man, I don't want to give the enemy a foothold in my life anywhere. Whether it's, we could talk about all kinds of character issues, sin issues, right? We could. Well, let's just talk about finances for just a second. Do you want to give the devil a foothold, a stronghold in your life? The love of money? That's not good. Where you're making money your God. Or maybe fear is your God. And you figure, you know what? If I can just get enough money, I'm going to be secure in my life. Then I won't have to worry about any eventuality, anything that happens. Well, you know what? Our security should never be in money. Solomon said, hey, money sprouts wings, flies away. My paraphrase. That's what he basically said, though. The only security we have in life is Jesus Christ. That being said, then we can operate from a biblical perspective of how to handle money. And Tom is going to walk through just some concepts that could change your life. But your particular financial challenge could be different from the generalities that we're going to talk about here. And I don't want to leave you out of the conversation. And maybe you've been praying about, well, who do I go to? Does my pastor really know about these money issues? Maybe he doesn't. Or I don't know anybody who can help me from a biblical perspective answer some questions I have about money. If that's you today, I want to give you the opportunity to connect with Tom. 883-5000. That's here in Buffalo. 883-5000. Outside of Buffalo, 1-800-684-2848. Don't delay and don't put it off, because I want to make sure that we get to as many calls as we possibly can. And I know that somebody's dealing with some financial issues right now, and it's bleeding over into your relationships and your spiritual life as well, your relationship with God. You're among friends here, okay? You are among friends, and there is an answer, and there is great hope in Jesus Christ. And Tom's going to tell you all about that. 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848. When it comes to helping the needy, that's a part of a good financial plan, is giving to God's work and being a very generous person. We're going to talk about generosity. Going directly to the phones, thank you guys for being patient. Let's go to Bill, joining us from right here in Buffalo. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Okay. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in debt, but mostly medical and dental and stuff. But I haven't been working since May. I've been on unemployment. And I am going to, I guess, put aside money to try and get a Class B license and hopefully drive some Metro. I'm just bad with money. Mm. When I walk into a store, whether it be a tool store or even a restaurant, I'll buy either tools or buy food for myself and others and my family.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying, Bill, is, you know, well, first of all, number one, seems to me it's pretty cool that you're saying, hey, I've got an issue here. I need to take a look at Tom. What would you say to Bill?
I would say, Bill, first of all, it's great that you've confessed you're bad with money, because a lot of Christians don't do that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The other thing is unknowingly, you've probably been violating some biblical principles, because you indicated you like to go into a tool store and you like to buy tools. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, it basically tells us, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So one of the ways I suggest people avoid the area of temptation, whatever it is, and for you it may be tools, is just don't go near the hardware store. Just don't go near there. If you're a car guy, don't go to the dealership and kick the tires. If you're a woman and you spend a lot of money on clothes, don't go to the shopping mall. Or if you ever have to go, have a list. So I would encourage you to really avoid the hardware stores, the places where you're going to buy tools. And fundamentally, I'd encourage you to get into what the Bible says on finances. God has so much wisdom in His Word. In James 1:5, God said, if any of us lack wisdom, we all lack wisdom, that He'll give it to us abundantly, and that He'll instruct us. Psalms 32:8 says, God said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So, Bill, I know that God is, He's got a good plan for you. Jeremiah 29, He's got a great plan, and He wants you to manage money His way. And as you do that, I've seen so many people in cases like yours where God starts to bless them, God provides them with a job, and eventually they get out of debt.
Okay.
Bill, thank you so much for your call. And you know what? There's great hope. And it can seem like when you're drowning in debt, you look at that and you're like, man, that is just, it's a mountain of debt. And I'm just overwhelmed by that. But Bill, I know that you know this, but maybe you just need somebody to remind you that God is bigger than your debt. But hang out, because we're going to talk about some principles and Tom's going to unpack some good stuff. Thank you, Bill, for your call. All right. Let's see. Gordon is joining us from St. Catharines. Hi, Gordon. How you doing?
Hey, Kirk. How are you, man?
Hey, long time no talk.
And I'm really from Welland, as you know, now. But that guy you got on there, I've known him for years. Thomas?
Hi, Gordon.
How are you doing? Stranger, man.
Yep.
So you guys are old friends, I take it, huh?
From way back.
We go back, 30 years?
Yes, early 1980s, yes.
Yeah, and the reason I phoned Kirk is just to praise Tom for how he helped my wife and I with finances.
So he's actually helped you guys, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you did, Tom, right?
You're right, Gordon. Thanks for calling, and let me assure you, Kurt, this was not set up. This is the hand of the Lord that Gord Brown happened to be listening at this time.
This is not a setup. I would never say that.
It's not. I haven't seen Gord in years, but I did sit down with him and his wife back in the early 80s. We attended the same church, gave them some biblically based financial advice, and it made a big difference.
So, Gordon, what you're saying is what Tom has said to you personally, on a personal level, you're like, I've test-driven this, and God has used it in my life.
I have listened to Tom's little ditty that he has on the WDCX quite often. I actually did phone in when I got his number for his office. I guess maybe I didn't have the right number, trying to get him to give me a call back, and I didn't hear from him. But I can guarantee to your audience today, as I believe you said, about a man of integrity when it comes to the Lord. I wish that I could rattle scriptures off like he does. my brain don't keep them that there, and they should after all the years I've been a Christian. But he is a great guy, and he helped us. And praise the Lord that he's still in business, and especially giving the glory to the Lord.
Man, that's great. Hey, that is an...
Stay out of your wife, eh?
We'll do, Gord.
Gordon is giving you a nice endorsement here, and I appreciate that. And Gordon, you're a good friend of the program. I love it when you call, primarily because I love your accent. It's pretty cool.
Well, we'll see you soon. It's coming up again.
Hey, Mission Fest, you're going to be out there.
I hope so.
All right, I hope so. If so, we will connect there. Okay.
God bless.
Okay, you too, Gordon. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling.
Bye, Tom.
Good talking to you, Gord. Give me a call sometime.
Yeah. God bless. Bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more. Do you have financial questions? Gordon gave Tom an endorsement here. That's even bigger than any endorsement I could give Tom. It's good. And Tom is the first person who would say, and he pretty much said it already, you know, it's not about me being the super smart guy. It's about the Lord and what he does when you follow his plan. We're taking your financial calls, and maybe you've got some issues that you're dealing with, and you just need to unpack them. And you can even be general. I mean, you don't have to be super specific, but whatever you feel comfortable with. I just want to give you the opportunity as we head into this new year to connect with somebody who really knows the Bible, knows finances, and maybe you need some guidance because you're like, you know what? I don't want 2013 to be like 2012 or 2011 or 2010 when it comes to my finances. I need truth with handles, something that is practical that I can put into play. Tom is your guy. 883-5000, that's 883-5000. That's here in Buffalo. Outside of Buffalo, 1-800-684-2848. Let's go to Peter, joining us from Toronto. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Kurt.
How you doing today?
Not too bad.
Good.
I have a question for Tom, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to quickly give it because I'm driving, and then I'll hang up and I'll listen for the answer.
Sure.
Okay, Tom, I just wanted your opinion on a reverse mortgage where it's a senior. She's been forced to retire early because of poor health. She owns her own home, but she still has a small mortgage on it. She only has a government pension to live on, and she's considering taking out a reverse mortgage in order to stay living in her home. I just wanted your opinion.
That's a good question, Peter, because there's no simple answer to that. We know from Scripture that God discourages debt, Proverbs 22:7, but it's not a sin to borrow. And a reverse mortgage is basically taking on a debt. One of the challenges with a reverse mortgage is we don't know how long your mother's going to live, and we don't know what the price of houses are going to do. So that's one of the challenges and uncertainties. I find in situations like this, there's no substitute for spending quality time with the Lord in prayer and discerning God's will for your specific situation. Here's the parameters. The Bible discourages debt, but it's not a sin to borrow. It's only a sin to borrow, not repay. So even though God discourages debt, there may be cases where it is God's will for someone to take on some debt, whether it's a reverse mortgage or anything else. In my book, Financial Management God's Way, in one of the sections, I have a whole list of questions to consider before borrowing, and you may want to go through that. But it's just that you need God's specific direction here. God's promised to direct us. He's promised to instruct us. And he can speak to us so many ways. As you search Scripture, sometimes you read 100 verses, God can highlight a Scripture for you. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That can be God speaking to you. Also, God can give us a peace or lack of peace about a proposed decision. Unfortunately, often what happens is Christians make financial decisions first, and then they pray later and ask God to bless their decisions, as opposed to seeking God's wisdom and direction before they make the decision. And as you do your financial planning, you need to make prayer the foundation of that meeting. Certainly with reverse mortgages, I would say be very careful with that, because you got a situation where you're taking on a debt and the payments are going to come in and you may not have the income to pay it. So you didn't want to do a budget or a cash flow plan. But I just make sure it's God's will before you go ahead on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter, and we appreciate you listening. God bless, and hopefully that answer helped you out, clearing some things up for you. Rosie is joining us from Toronto as well. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Doing great.
I'm not quite sure if I have a question, but I do have a comment, and that's just to give people a word of encouragement just in terms of being patient when it comes to money, because I find that it's something that's not necessarily taught from the time that you're a child. And I know in my own circumstances, I've made a lot of mistakes with money. And my husband and I just recently paid off a significant amount of debt, but it did take us some time. And one of the things that we did was really made the commitment to not only seek God, but just to commit to paying tithes. And even that can still be a struggle, particularly when it seems like tithes are sometimes I see it as, well, that's our only expendable income in terms of where I may be able to take from. And my husband's always been encouraging me, that's not the place that we take it from. And so I really have had to learn to be patient and to trust God with what comes into our home. And even though it can be a little bit challenging, I just want to give people a word of encouragement to say continue at it, because it's not something that people can get under control easily. And I am still going through a process of trusting God with every fiber of my being, simply because I found that in my life, money has always been the one thing that I really felt I had control over. And so despite everything else, becoming a Christian and giving all that over to God, it's like, you want my money too. And it was coming to a point of surrender and giving it all over to him, which can be a very scary thing for people. And I'm still struggling with that process of, yeah, God, you have all of me, because it's almost like this is the only thing that I really had control over, and you still want that component of who I am as a follower of Christ. So just to give people a word of encouragement.
Wow, you're really in a good place there, Rosie. You unpacked a lot of truth. You're being very honest about your challenges. And Tom, some people do stand up and say, okay, with the tithe, which is giving 10% to God's work, they're like, oh, man, I just don't know how I can do that because I have so much debt. These are very normal questions. And then you have somebody who says, wait a minute, are we required to tithe and all of that? How does this come into play when it comes to handling money God's way?
Okay, let me deal first of all with Rosie's comment at the beginning. Patience, she's absolutely right. I mean, I've helped thousands of people reduce their debt, many people becoming debt-free. Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You're not going to be able to eliminate all your debts quickly. It's going to take time. It's a process. You have to learn how to manage money God's way. And certainly you do have to, in the process, it can be a great spiritual process as you draw closer to the Lord during the trials and the difficulties, learning God's word on finances and applying it. Kurt, with respect to the tithe, that's a common question, a good one. It's interesting, if you look in the Old Testament, under Mosaic law, there was actually three tithes. There was the Levite tithe, the festive tithe, and the poor tithe every 3 years. So if somebody is legalistic about tithing, that averages to 23 1/3%. If you're legalistic about tithing, you should give 23 1/3% of your income to God's work. The emphasis in the New Testament is really simply this: give generously.
Yeah.
Jesus said, given it shall be given unto you. Right. He did affirm the tithe in Matthew 23:23, but again, it's not a legalism. I believe one key verse is Luke 12:48, where Jesus said, from everyone who's been given much, much will be expected, and from the one who's been entrusted with much, even much more will be asked. What is generous giving, people ask me. Generous giving depends on the facts. A single mom with two kids and a modest income, giving 4 or 5% of her income, that could be generous giving. Actually, that may be sacrificial giving.
Sure.
Well, a high-income earning couple, giving 10% of their income, that's good. That's giving out of obedience. But I wouldn't call that generous giving. That's giving out of obedience. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be more rewards for that single mom who's sacrificially giving as opposed to high-income people who are just giving 10%. So the message for high-income people is don't stop at 10%. Give generously as God has given to you, and let me assure you, he will bless you. And let me assure everyone, as you put God first, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. As you put God first and make giving to his work a priority, you will experience some small miracles. I've seen it too many times. That's what I did. When I started to learn about finances in 1981 and I started to pay down my debts, I also started to tithe. And let me tell you, it was tough. And I understand it can be really difficult. But if you show that element of faith and make God first in the way you manage money, including the giving, he will bless you for it.
Yeah, and be very patient in the process. Rosie,
absolutely.
By the way, thank you for your phone call. It's a matter of, and we've talked about this before, and I recall one of our listeners called and said, you know what, we have been tithing, but things are not getting better financially. Now, we would be less than authentic and honest if we didn't address some of these questions. We might have some people listening today, and they're thinking, I've been tithing faithfully, Tom. I've uh-huh. been doing what I should be doing, but I'm still in deep weeds when it comes to finances, and I'm trying to do things right. What do you say to that person?
I would say keep doing what God wants you to do. He will bless you in due course, and it may be longer than you think. We know one thing in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And 1 Peter 1 talks about that our trials have come to us in order to prove the genuineness of our faith. And so if God's directing you to give 10% of your income, that's certainly the guideline in Scripture. It's not a legalism, but it's a guideline. Keep doing it. I would never discourage anyone from doing that. In due course, he will bless you. And some of those blessings may be in eternity. They may not even be here, but often they are here. I've seen so many people who've made giving to God's work a priority, especially when they're hurting. And so one of the things, like often a question I get often is, if we're in debt, should we give to God's work? And the answer is yes. It's a dual responsibility. We have a responsibility to give to God's work and a responsibility to pay down our debts. It's not one or the other. And you don't want to defer giving until all your debts are paid off, because that's giving God the leftovers, not the first fruits.
Mm. Tom Copeland, our guest for the balance of the program. We're taking your calls, your financial questions, comments. And, yeah, don't delay, because if you're kind of new to Lifeline, I say this a lot because it always seems to happen. People tend to just, you know, flood the phone lines at the end of the program. I mean, it's very busy. I know it's challenging to get through on most days, but they kind of wait, and then we have people left on hold. We can't get to their questions or comments. I don't want that to happen. I want you to join in the conversation. I want to take as many calls as we can. That's part of what we do. 883-5000, that's here in Buffalo. 883-5000, 1-800-684-2848, outside the metro area. Tom Copeland is my guest. We are taking your financial questions. Let's go back to the phones, Tom. Let's see here. Who's next in line officially? That would be Atish. Did I pronounce your name right in Toronto? That would be Atish. Did I get your name right?
I'm Satish.
Okay, great. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kurt. I've been listening to you every evening, almost a year now.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
I just have a question with Tom. Tom, I see some of my friends who borrow money and invest. They mostly do in real estate. They buy and rent it. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that, and I wanted to get your view and what the Bible says about borrowing to invest, and I'm not clear about that.
That's a good question, Antish. Certainly, I can say this. If you talk to most financial advisors and investment advisors today, most of them, even the Christian ones, will actually encourage you to borrow to invest stocks, bonds, and in the real estate field, often real estate as well. The Bible discourages debt. It warns we may become a servant to the lender. And if you look at James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, it basically says, don't presume on the future. Do not say we're going to go to this or that city, make money, carry on business. It ends up in verse 15 saying, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. The biblical principle is this, is that we need to make sure it's God's will before we borrow any money of significance. And secondly, often borrowing to invest is optional debt. It's not something a family needs to take on. Borrowing for a house, they may need to do that. And I see that differently. But borrowing to invest is optional, and it's not necessary. You're actually presuming on the future. You're taking a risk because it's one thing to have your money invested wherever and to lose your own money. But it's another thing when you borrow money to invest and the investment drops in value, like, of course, real estate's done in the U.S. the last several years, and it did in Canada in the early 90s, people can end up in a lot of debt and a lot of financial difficulty when they're borrowing to invest. So the Bible doesn't say you should not, you absolutely cannot do it, but it clearly discourages doing it. I would mention for a second about a house. I see a borrowing for a house as being somewhat that you're going to live in is different because the main purpose of a home is to meet the needs of the family. And as long as you can put down a good down payment and you can make sure that you have the cash flow, you've prepared a budget, you've got the cash flow to make the payments, even if it drops in value, remember the house doesn't go from four bedrooms to three bedrooms. It doesn't shrink in size all because it drops in value. It still has the same usefulness to the family. And that's why I see borrowing for a house to be different, because you're trying to meet a need. It's secondarily an investment. And even for a house, I encourage people to put down as much of a down payment as they can. I'd suggest a minimum of 20 to 30%, and then pay the debt off over, say, 30 years. Try to pay it off over 15 years. You'll save tens of thousands of dollars worth of interest. But certainly, borrowing to invest, in a simple terms, God discourages that.
Mm. Atish, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate you listening to Lifeline.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So now I want to ask you before we get to another call here, Tom, you opened up when we were talking about real estate and buying a house and all of that. What about if we don't have like the 20% that we can put down? And what about here in the U.S. specifically with the real estate market and the economic downturn and everything? A lot of people, I came to New York from Las Vegas, which was the foreclosure capital of the country. And basically, I would say something like 60 to 70% of homeowners in Las Vegas underwater.
Wow.
In other words, it's upside down in their loan. And so they owe more on their house than it's worth. And so that's a major issue. And so people are afraid of that. And so if they can sell their house and they can get out from underneath it, they're very hesitant to buy again because it's very difficult. So what is your idea between, if you're going to be in a place you don't know how long, and of course the economy, you just don't know how long. And so what about renting versus buying? How do you feel about that?
Well, good question. I mean, if you're going to only be in a certain area for a couple of years, you probably just want to rent. But if you're going to be in a certain area and you buy a house that you believe you and your family could live in the long term, let's say 10 years, I think it's better to buy. It adds stability to the family. Any increase in value results in equity. But the key is this: you need to have a good size down payment. There's nothing that's cast in stone, and you need to be able to make sure you can make the mortgage payments. And in all of this, there's just no substitute for discerning God's specific will for your life, because God will direct us. He's promised. I love Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and who directs you in the way you should go. So there's questions like this, and that's a good one, Kurt, where there's no simple answer. I can give some biblical principles, some guidelines, but each Christian and each Christian couple, they have to go before the Lord, and it's a close personal relationship with Christ that is so key in discerning God's will for your specific life. And by the way, if there's anybody out there that wants a copy of my recent paper, it's several pages on what the Bible says on discerning God's will, just check out my website or send an email to me. Go to the website, BibleFinance.org, and I'd be more than glad to send that to you.
Yeah, we've got a link on our Facebook page as well. Let's go to Sharon joining us from West Seneca. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. I am calling to say thank you so much for having this subject on air today. For myself, I have been tempted in recent weeks to stop tithing or maybe not tithe for, you know, a short period because things are tight. And I've just been so tempted by that. And one of the callers you had, I think her name might have been Rosie.
Yeah.
Called and had words of encouragement that I really needed to hear. And your guest also followed up with some scripture to go with that. And I just want to thank you so much because I really, truly needed to hear that to be rid of this temptation, you know, of not tithing. And I do have so many other blessings from God, you know, from doing that and from other things too. And I know that's not what I should be doing. So I really want to just thank you for this program today.
Wow. Well, Sharon, thank you for listening and being a part of the Lifeline family. And that temptation is so real when you're looking at your finances, Sharon. You're like, man, if I just wasn't giving to God's work here, mm-hmm. it would really help me out a lot. And I think all of us, let's be honest, because we're honest here and we're not afraid of being honest. Many of us, if not all of us, have thought those very thoughts. So, Sharon, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks,
Sharon.
Thank you. God bless. Yeah.
Kurt, can I make a comment?
Sure, absolutely.
I think a key verse to look at, because the tithe is a guideline, and what's the appropriate amount to give is going to depend on each person's situation. Okay. I love 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The key is to give cheerfully and to give generously to God's work. For some people, that may be 5% of their income. For others, that may require 30% of their income. But the key is that you're giving God the first fruits. When you do your financial plan, your budget, your spending plan, you're making sure that God is a priority in that plan. And that's the key. And in some ways, it's also a test of faith. Do you trust God or do you say you trust God?
Boy, that's true. Sharon, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see here. Toronto and Barb. Hi, Barb.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for this show, too. It's wonderful. I listen to it regularly and receive a lot of knowledge. My question today is pertaining to... It's different from all your other questions. I have to prepare my own pension plan, so I'm going to be retiring shortly, and I have I'm sort of fearful to begin doing this process because of the uncertainty of the market and so forth. And I wondered what Tom thought about investment councils and if he recommends them, because he is a chartered accountant, and so does he recommend them if you qualify? And because he's talking about this other kind of financial plan with livestock and so forth, so I'll just let him answer the question. And what would his portfolio look like, and how would he invest his money to receive a return of 4 to 5% in a safe, conservative way?
Okay, that's a good question, Barb. That's not an easy one to answer. In my book, Financial Management God's Way, I have an entire chapter on what the Bible says on investing. Most Christians would think it says nothing, but it actually says quite a bit. Again, it's provided to us in terms of general principles. We're admonished to have a diversified portfolio, Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. However, I think one of the key items is to make sure you're investing the money God's entrusted to you according to God's will for your life. And I've seen cases where some Christians have had a strong conviction to just stay in GICs, and frankly, in the last 4 years, since June of 08, that hasn't been a bad place to be. You really need to discern God's will for your life. It's not an easy one. And certainly, don't borrow to invest is what I recommend. And if you're going to go into some equities, I would suggest blue chip, dividend paying type stocks that at least and also companies that are typically going to do okay or will do reasonably well in bad economic times. We don't know what the future holds. Only God does. I would say if I had to summarize it all up. I mean, there's so many principles there in that chapter of my book. I can't go through them all, but I say probably among the key ones is to discern God's will as to what He wants you to do with the money that He's entrusted to you, and especially the portfolio allocation in terms of the amount of risk that He wants you to take on. The world is in so much debt, so it creates a great uncertainty for what's going to happen in the future. But we do need to remember the Lord has established His throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. God is in control. And I would say this, one last comment. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God has promised as we put Him first that He will meet our needs. So I think investing is a great opportunity to spend so quality time with the Lord and discern God's will. And if you'd like a copy of my book, we like helping people. Just send me an email and I'll give you a copy.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. What about the telephone number? I'd like your email address, and then also your the telephone number to that. You were suggesting something about this livestock.
Oh, no, that was an advertisement. That had nothing to do with me.
Oh, that's nothing to do with you. Okay.
No,
that's
no.
Great. Right. So then what is your email address?
Tom@Copeland.
Tom at Copeland. That's C-O-P-L-A-N?
L-A-N-D.
L-A-N-D.
-ca.com.
C-A.com.
A.com. And or the other way is just go to BibleFinance.org. I'd announce that to everybody. BibleFinance.org, that's our ministry website. There's a tremendous amount of information there. There's a whole series of financial moments on investing, actually almost every topic related to finances. Their video, their audio, their hard copy. There's a tremendous amount of information there. And also my budgeting system's there. It can be downloaded for free. There's a 30-minute video on how to use it. There's lots of resources. Most of it's actually free. I'm really doing this on a ministry basis. We charge for some resources. I don't personally get anything out of it, and I spend about 1,500 hours a year at strictly on a ministry basis.
God
great.
Bless you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your advice. And so you wouldn't. It's again something that I have to go to prayer with. You don't have. There's no real black and white. You don't have any ratios that you would put in dividends and in bonds and interest bearing income. You don't have any ratios like that. It's just you're just saying like go and more or less check it out yourself.
Go and do what God wants you to do. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because I've seen cases, real life cases, where God made convicted some of His people, not many, but some, to get out of the market in the spring of 08 or the fall of 07. I saw a number of them, and they didn't get hit with the downturn at all. And they've been blessed. But don't expect to pray and that God's going to have you buy at the bottom of the market and sell at the top. It usually doesn't happen that way. But if you do manage money God's way, invest it His way, He has promised that He will meet your needs. Have a look at Matthew 6:31-33, where Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be given unto you. And the things He talked about were our needs, what we shall eat, drink, and wear.
Mm.
God has promised He will meet our needs.
Yeah, Barb, thank you so much for your call.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. Tom Copeland is our guest taking your financial questions. I know you have one. Please don't delay. Back to the phones in just a moment. It's 883-5000 here in Buffalo. Paul, you're next in line to join us on the air. 883-5000, 1-800-684-2848. Remember this. Don't wait until the last moments, the last minutes of the program. We wrap things up just before 6 o'clock. I don't want you to be left out. 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848. Hey, Tom is a good friend of WDCX and Lifeline. In fact, every Monday through Friday at this time, we have the Copeland Financial Moment. Let's dive in.
Financial Moments with Tom Copeland.
Do you feel overwhelmed by financial problems? If yes, then here are some practical steps to reduce your financial stress. 1, track your expenses for 2 or 3 months to determine where your money is going. 2, develop and implement a budget to ensure that you spend less than you earn so that you have a monthly surplus. 3, use that surplus to pay down your most expensive debt first, which is usually credit cards, and then pay down your other debts. 4, save some money for emergencies. Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." And most importantly, spend quality time with the Lord daily, asking God for His wisdom and direction in managing money. In Isaiah 48:17, God promised, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you and who directs you in the way you should go. For more help, check out BibleFinance.org.
The Lifeline hotline numbers. My name is Kurt. You've got WDCX, AM and FM. Tom Copeland, chartered accountant, taught thousands of people God's word on finances since the early 80s, and he's helped a lot of people. His financial moments, I love them. And you just heard one here on WDCX. He is with us answering your questions in real time. Do you have a financial question? If you do, we want to hear from you. Back to the phones in a moment, Paul. Again, you are up next. Don't go anywhere. 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848. Hey, Tom, before we continue here, I know there are a lot of people who would like to connect with you. It's pretty obvious they're calling in here. Do you have any seminars that are going to be going on soon in the Toronto area?
Yes, I do, Kurt. There's one that's going to take place at InTouch Ministries, which is located in Markham at their office. It's on Tuesday evenings. It starts on January the 15th. It's from 7 to 9 p.m., and it's based on my book, Financial Management, God's Way. There's going to be 12 sessions over 12 Tuesday evenings, and it's a very comprehensive study of what the Bible says on finances. And if anybody's interested, check out our website at BibleFinance.org, and that will give you some details. And if anybody's in the Peterborough area, I am speaking at Kawartha Community Church on January the 20th.
Excellent. Let's go back to the phones. And, Paul, I promised you would be next. Paul, where are you calling from?
Oh, from Stouffville, Ontario, north of Toronto.
Excellent. Welcome to the program. How you doing?
Well, not too bad at all. How are you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You sound great.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I have a question for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
He often uses the word stewardship. What does he mean by that? Does it just involve our money, or what does he mean by stewardship?
That's a good question, Paul. Because most often, when you ask Christians what the word stewardship means, they would say that means tithing. You give 10% to the Lord's work,
yeah.
And that's where it starts and finishes. And in actual fact, that's only a small part of it. My view is I would define biblical stewardship as acknowledging in our heart and our mind that God owns absolutely everything, and then managing the money and material things God's entrusted to us according to his principles and his will. And it does go beyond money and material things. It goes in terms of managing the time, the natural talents, everything that God's entrusted to us according to his will. So that stewardship is so much more. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Psalms 24:1-2 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We know one thing. We're just being entrusted. We're just stewards to entrusted with the money and material things, the time, the resources we have while we're here on earth. And a split second after we die, as Paul said, we brought nothing into this world and we shall take nothing out of it.
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. Tom, I appreciate the wise counsel you share, and especially the fact that you base it on Scripture. It means so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul, for calling, and God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Let's see. Let's go to who's next in line officially here. That would be Navid joining us from Toronto. Hi, Navid. How are you?
Hi. How you doing, Kurt?
Doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to, again, thank you guys for the great program that you're putting on. I know finances can be such a difficult thing, especially for younger adults like myself, especially when you're packed up with bills and expenses and things like that.
Yeah.
Tithing can be something that you just forget to do sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we have to remind ourselves that, you know, there's a greater principle for tithing than just giving back money. God doesn't really need our money. But I do sometimes just get overwhelmed with so much debt and so much, because my parents live with me, and just their debt is also accumulated onto me, and I kind of to pay for all the time, and it's discouraging sometimes. Just looking to see what kind of, I guess, advice you have on a reminder techniques that I can always remind myself, because I know tithing is the most important thing we can do with our money, just to give God glory and to give him respect and to thank him for what he gives us. But just to remind ourselves, is there any tips maybe you had when you were younger, Tom, or you had when you were younger, Kurt, just to remind yourselves how important it is to tithe?
That's a really good point. You know, I love your heart, Navid, as well. So, Tom, why don't you go first? I'll say this. When it comes to giving, you know, I haven't always gotten that right. And I think that most of us, if we're honest, we say, you know what, sometimes it's been fits and starts. But I can tell you this. In giving to God's work, in giving to God, I know my heart is in the right place, and it's a very tangible way for me to be able to worship God. And as Tom has highlighted, and I can put my hand up in the air, both of them, in fact, and say, hey, God has never, ever not provided for me. He has always been faithful, and as I give to him, it just reminds me that, man, everything is his, and I am trusting him more. So that's where I'm coming from, and I don't always get it right, or I haven't always gotten it right, but that's where I'm coming from. Tom.
Excellent point, Kurt. It's interesting. Navid has made reference to feeling overwhelmed with debt, yet he understands the responsibility to give to God's work and make that a priority. And it's interesting. I'd like to make this comment. So often, for example, when churches are running short of money or an organization is, people feel led to teach on the tithe. Christians don't know about the tithe. I find most Christians, they know about the tithe. That's one thing that they have heard about. What they don't understand is the big hindrance, the biggest hindrance to giving to God's work, the biggest hindrance to tithing is not the understanding of tithing. It's actually debt. So often, because easy credit, it's so easy today to get credit cards, lines of credit, 0% financing on cars. It's so easy to get credit today. It's so easy to spend a little more than you're making, accumulating debt. And I've seen thousands of people over the last 30 years where I've sat down with them, leaders in their church, elders, even pastors, where they've inadvertently spent more than they've made, accumulated debt, and the tithe has got squeezed out. And that's not God's will. So one thing that is just practical is developing and implementing a budget to ensure that you spend less than you earn and you have a surplus, and include within your budget, if you don't like the word budget, use a spending, call it a spending plan. Develop some sort of a spending plan to make sure you have a surplus each month, and also make sure that you can give to the Lord's work what God has directed you to give, and the tithe is the guideline. And again, that's available from BibleFinance.org as a free download.
And Navid, can I just say this before I let you go? The fact that you're helping out family members and such is just great, and it's very biblical, and I know that you're honoring God when you do that. So,
well, I appreciate it. It does get hard sometimes, but you know what? We just have the word to just encourage us, right?
That's absolutely right. We want to encourage you. What you're doing is right, and I admire you for that, my friend.
Well, praise God, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Way to go, Navid. Let me make one other comment, if it's okay. If there's any people out there, Navid or whoever, that would like some biblically-based financial counsel, we do, as the Lord permits time, I do have volunteers of the ministry who can give one-on-one counsel. We do require you do some homework first so that we have an understanding of your finances. So, Navid, I'd be more than willing to talk to you or have one of my volunteers talk to you and try to help you with your specific situation. We want to help God's people manage money God's way. And my heart goes out to you, Navid, because I agree with Kurt. You are doing the right thing in helping family members.
There's no doubt about it. And we're going to get back to your calls in a moment. Ebony, you're next to join us here on the air. We'll get to as many as we can. Tom Copeland is our guest answering your financial questions. 883-5000. That's in Buffalo. Outside of Buffalo, 1-800-684-2848. Let's see. Ebony is joining us from right here in Buffalo. Hi, Ebony. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I'm fine.
Doing great.
I have two questions. 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with an illness, which took me out of work. So then I got placed on SSD. So the income is not very much. So I was just wondering, how would I save with that little bit of money and also pay my tithes?
Okay, that's a good question, Ebony. You're in one of those unique situations where your income is very modest. And that's why I said earlier, the tithe is a guideline. It's not a legalism. I think the emphasis, we're no longer under Mosaic law. The emphasis is to give generously. And what constitutes generous giving depends on the individual circumstances. So I've counseled certainly a lot of single moms, for example, income very modest. And when I see them giving 4 or 5% of their income or whatever, I'm not legalistic about the tithe. Actually, I think there's huge rewards for them in heaven. So what I think you would do is take it before the Lord and give to God what God has directed you to give, whatever that amount is. The tithe, the 10% is a guideline. Certainly most people in Canada and the United States should be able to give 10%, but there are some people of extremely modest, very modest income that cannot do that. And you take it before the Lord, and whatever God wants you to do, John 14:27, Jesus said that he's going to give us our peace if we're in his will.
Ebony, thank you so much for your call. And you know what? Hang in there. It's God. Yeah. He is your provider. You know that.
Yep.
You know that's true. And it sounds to me like your concern and your heart is in the right place, and God definitely does honor that. So hang in there, okay?
Yes, I have to just have one more question.
Sure.
Now, a relative of mine's, my financial situation with them, and they said, why don't you file for bankruptcy? So I do believe in deliverance and that God is, that he's not going to keep me in, but I want to know how, is that a good idea to file for bankruptcy? I'm only at like $10,000. I'm rounding it off.
I would encourage you not to file for bankruptcy. Psalms 37:21 is clear that borrowing money and not paying it back is a sin. Also, think of Matthew chapter 5. What kind of a light in the world of darkness is a Christian who goes bankrupt? So I would encourage you not to do that. I would encourage you to pray and really trust God to help you deal with this debt. And as God does some things, I'd also encourage you to get into God's Word on finances. There may be some things that you've not been following because you weren't aware of it. And just keep resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. It's just generally, Scripture is very clear that God clearly discourages going bankrupt. And I would encourage you not to do that and stay close to the Lord and manage money the way he's entrusted to you, the way he's directed you, and avoid going bankrupt.
And Ebony, just keep in mind, you can only do what you can do. I mean, that's pretty much a given. But God takes the intent of your heart there again, and he blesses that if we're persistent. Thank you so much for your call. Jason has been extremely patient, joining us from Scarborough. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
First off, I'd just like to thank Tom Copeland for his financial moment. They're a real blessing, and the fact that you are able to relate Scripture to the fact that the advice that you give out is really helpful. I'd just like to thank you for just taking your time to minister in that way and not looking for anything out of it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Jason, and thank you for your encouragement.
No problem. My question is actually, God has been amazingly, he's been amazing throughout my life with finances and stuff like that, with tithing and all that, just being obedient with him. I have no debt whatsoever, but I'm stepping into the new realm of preparing for marriage. Just wondering, because right now what I'm doing is, besides tithing, taking out a certain amount out of my salary to put towards, saving up for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
What tips do you have that you can give that can help me out for that?
Say your question again, the last part.
Oh, sorry. I'm just wondering if you have any tips that would help me out in that situation.
Sure. I mean, it sounds like you're starting to do some of the right things. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man saves for the future, and the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Unfortunately, most people spend all they make and don't save. And if I understand what you're doing, you got no debt, you're giving regularly to God's work, and you are starting to save for the marriage. And what I would also suggest is if you check out the Copeland budgeting system, it'll also help you save for other expenses. And you may want to start saving even for, I assume you're a young, if you're getting married, you may want to save for a down payment on a house and other future things.
Because she's still in school, and I know I'm going to be inheriting her debt from her school. So, I know I'm preparing for that also.
Okay.
But
so you're going to be inheriting some of her debt. Okay.
Yeah, well, because she's getting funding from her from the government for school.
Okay.
So I know, like, with that, like, when you get married, you're inheriting that stuff too.
Yep.
So, so I guess I just wanted to know if you had any tips.
Well, one thing I encourage all couples before they get married is to talk about finances, ideally before you get married, and try to have some really good communication there, because often couples get married and there's some real surprises after the wedding day, and it can create a lot of stress. So if she has debt and you're knowingly inheriting that, and you and her need to develop a budget, a financial plan to pay that off, sounds like you're going to help her do that. That's great. But make sure that there's good communication and there's no surprises that are going to cause. The other thing is I'd encourage you both, especially as a young couple, to get into God's Word on finances. Learn and study what the Bible says on finances, because if you do that, that'll draw you closer together in your marriage.
Yeah.
So often finances and financial problems and debt can push couples apart because it can create a lot of tension and stress and arguments.
Mm. Jason, thank you so much for your phone call. Okay, so Tom, I got to let you go here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't get to all the calls here because we're running out of time, but I want to make sure on the tail end here that we mentioned the seminars that you have coming up.
Okay, yeah, the one that's coming up on Tuesday evenings at In Touch Ministries, 150 Riviera Drive in Markham. It's near Woodbine and Highway 407. And if you're interested, you can either call In Touch themselves, 1-800-323-3747. I'll repeat that, 1-800-323-3747. Or you can click on to my ministry website, which is BibleFinance.org. And at BibleFinance.org, there's a whole pile of materials that you should find that you can find that would help you. And also there's a place to email Tom. You can click on that and send me an email if you have any questions. And either I'll respond or one of our volunteers will respond with a biblically based answer.
Tom, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I really enjoy talking with you and to you, and it's just one of those situations where it's like a brother in Christ who really wants to serve the Lord, and you're doing it in a big way, and I wish we could have you back at some time.
I'd love to come back, Kurt. It's been great working with you, and you're absolutely right. This is God's calling for me for the rest of my life, to teach His Word on finances. That's what He wants me to do.
I'm going to hold you to that. You're coming back at some point, all right?
Right on.
Okay, Tom Copeland. Don't forget, you can catch his financial moments right here on WDCX. Again, the website is BibleFinance.org. Thank you for your calls. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we're pulling out the music and taking your requests. Worship Wednesday. Can't wait for that. Plus, we're going to be sharing some highlights from our recent conversations with our guests here on Lifeline. So make plans to be with us tomorrow starting at 3. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.